Get this switched on here. All right. These earpieces. I feel like my ears are extra large this morning. Okay, here we go. That's just, all right, there we go. I don't know why you guys were nervous up here. You guys sounded great. That was awesome. That last song's one of my favorites. It is a great, great song. So happy to be able to sing that with you all this morning. I'm Eric Keith. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, since some of you don't know me, a few of you do. I'm a Manchester resident. I moved to Manchester when I was 10 years old. I lived across from Willowbrook, and then actually worked there from 12 to 22. And then at 16, met my now wife, Abby, got saved in her basement at her house. We got married at 21, moved to Virginia. She's a Navy veteran, so we moved to Virginia for a few years, started our family out there, and once she got out of the Navy, we thought, man, we miss home. So we moved back to Tennessee in 2013, taught at New Union for a handful of years. I was a fifth grade teacher there most of the time I was there, and then a few years ago I was the assistant principal at Coffee County Middle School. And then now, finished my second year as East Coffee's principal, and actually moved two doors down from where I grew up. So I'm back across the golf course, a few doors down from East Coffee. So I feel like I'm back home, and finally. And it was pretty neat for Mark to ask me to come in and speak to you guys. I was talking to him a few months ago. So he and a few others have been helping transport backpack the food bags to our students. And one afternoon when he dropped those off, he was asking how things were going. I said, yeah, you know, it's been a good week. I preached at our church on this past Sunday. You know, Billy, our pastor, was out of town. He goes, oh, do you do that? And I said, yes. And then he says, do you go to other churches and do that? And I say, well, I've never done that before. But he said, I'm going on vacation. So I said, oh, yeah, that's fine. I'll put it in the calendar. Earlier this year, I became an elder in our church. We have an elder team of five elders so that the work of leading the church isn't just on the lead pastor. And so when I became an elder at Encounter Life Church, we started a book study on how to be a better elder, and what is an elder like, and throughout that discussion we decided we were going to go through the Bible as an elder team, follow a plan. It was going to be about a 2-year plan to read through the entire Bible. All of us have done it in the past, but we thought it'd be a good idea to do it as a team. And so we started that in late February, and I was rocking and rolling. I was pulling up my Bible app in the morning, sometimes the evening, sometimes during my lunch break, but I was clicking through, reading through the Bible. And then the month of May hit. I don't know if anybody else has referred to the month of May as Maycember, but May was crazy for me. May was crazy. Wrapping up the school year, at East Coffee, we had field trips, we had meetings, we had something called Lemonade Day, where we were putting up lemonade stands at Willowbrook and Bosky's and at our school. We had award ceremonies, we had kindergarten graduation, fifth grade graduation, pre-K graduation, everybody graduated. And then in addition, at home, my two kids were in a play. So we had play rehearsals, we had tech rehearsals, we were moving set. My daughter then had dance recitals, and then just general stress of life in May, and where I was referring to it as Maycember. I was roaming around my office, and poor Jill, our secretary, and poor Lindsay, our assistant principal, heard me grumbling every morning with my cup of coffee going, I hate May. I hate it. And so you know, I worked really hard to enjoy each of these moments. You know, the field trip, we got to go to, we took the entire school to see a play and hang out at the park, and my kids are in a play, and my daughter's, you know, doing her dance recital. So I'm trying very hard to enjoy each and every of those moments, not just for myself, but for the people that also put these things on, because it's not a one-man show, and so, you know, to observe their hard work. But again, as each event finished, I was like, check, yes, almost done with May. Check, yes, let's go. All right, what's next? Doing that, and then, you know, waking up going, oh, I hate May. And then one day in mid-May, I was talking, I believe it was Joel, one of our elders, and he was like, you know, man, I was really, the passage I read in the Bible app this morning, it really connected with me. And I go, oh no, I had completely, I hadn't been keeping up with my Bible reading. And it was at this point in mid-May where I thought, I had this thought of, I forgot we were even doing it. Like it was this reminder of, because I had spent 2 weeks of just grumbling through May and, you know, and all that, and completely forgot that I had this plan going on that I was doing so well in February, March, and April with. I just completely forgot. I got myself so busy and wrapped up in hating May that I forgot that we were doing that. And I couldn't even remember the last time I thought, oh, I need to do this. I need to check it off, because it had just completely left my mind. So then I made it a priority. All right, we're going to get back into this. I was doing double, triple, quadruple the scripture to catch up on the days that I had missed. This is where I also see God's sense of humor, because we were deep in the throes of like the late part of Exodus and then hitting Leviticus every day. And, you know, before, and I don't know if you guys have read through Leviticus, there are great things in there, but there's also some stuff where I'm like, okay, let's go. All right. Sacrifice the lamb that way. All right. Oh, a goat, you do this. Okay. So it's all these very descriptive things, how long a curtain should be, and all of those things. So I was like, all right, thank you, God. I hear you. Touche. This is my penance here. But in the early parts of Exodus, I read about people who grumbled, not unlike myself, throughout the month of May. And so as I was preparing a message for you all, I remembered how Psalm 106 summed up some of these happenings that were in Exodus. So if you're a turn the page to person, we're going to be in Psalm 106. We're going to read the first part of it and then skip to a couple of verses later on in the psalm. And then we'll pray, and then I'll tell you what's on my heart with this, with this word. Psalm 106 starts, "Joy and forgiveness of Israel's sins. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have towards your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them from his name's sake, for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." I'm going to skip down to verse 44 and 45. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. Let's say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing me here to Summitville Baptist Church this morning to share your word with the congregation here. I just pray that you can speak through me and that we can encourage, that the folks here can be encouraged and fulfilled and filled up with energy and filled with the Spirit as we go and live out in this world. I pray that your word speaks through me. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, in verses 6 through 15, the psalmist writes about grumbling people. So, the story of Exodus, the Israelites are slaves in Egypt, and as they're being pursued, Moses is there to rescue them. As the Israelites are being pursued to the Red Sea, several of them go to Moses and tell him, maybe slavery in Egypt wasn't too bad. These are the same people that witnessed God issue plagues upon Pharaoh and the people of Egypt in order to rescue them. It baffles me. And then as they're wandering the wilderness, eating manna from heaven, they grumble about how they were fed a little bit better in Egypt. Again, these are people that witnessed the entire Red Sea part so that they could escape Egypt. The psalmist goes on to describe even more grumblings and rebellions of the Israelites, but then he reminds us of the best thing about God. And that's where I jump down to 44 and 45. God is merciful. He's not a fan of when we forget to walk with him. He's not a fan of when we grumble and whatnot. However, when we call his name, when we ask for him, he's right there. Once the busyness of May calmed down, I found myself, like the author of this psalm, singing praises to the Lord, as well as asking forgiveness for my lack of focus on him throughout the month. However, through the month of May, I found myself grumbling like the people by the Red Sea, like the people in the desert. And at no point was I blaming God or shaking my fist at him for my busyness. I was just not including him in it. But again, he regarded my affliction when he heard my cry. I also wanted to share this passage with you, not as a condemnation, because when I read it and when I read through Exodus the first time, I'm like, golly, like these people just saw miracles happen to rescue them, and they're still complaining. Kind of a bunch of idiots or something. I don't know. But then I thought about myself. Like, it actually made me feel a little bit better. So we're not using this passage as a condemnation or finger pointing or to accuse, but rather to remind you that that drift is natural. We are rebels. God wants a relationship with us. We desire it as well. However, we are natural sinners. Don't know if you know that. The Israelites watched an entire sea move out of the way, and they still grumbled and rebelled. I'm grumbling because I have another parent outside my door mad. I'm like, maybe I should look at this a little bit differently. So one thing when at our church at Encounter Life we like to do with Scripture is add some application to it. All right, what does this mean to me? All right, you guys, most of us, if not all of us, have not been out at Thames Ford Lake needing to get across without a boat, and then the waters part and we walk across. That hasn't happened to us, okay? And so how can we apply this today? So I'm going to encourage you with some actions that can kind of help steer you back when you lose your focus. I'll admit it's not rocket surgery. the things I'm going to talk about today is they're things that we've grown up learning about. We messages upon messages have been spoken to us about, but it never hurts to have a little bit of a reminder about these things, because most of the time when we do these things, we're not even thinking about it. But also, there may be a morning that you wake up similar to me and go, "Oh no, I haven't even thought to pray to God, or I haven't even thought to do these things in a few days," you know. And so, again, you know, I rarely find myself getting mad at God. However, I often find myself going my own route and trying to do things on my own without His guidance, which is pretty dangerous sometimes. So these are a few things I actually have to remind myself to do. Some more than others, depending on what season of life I'm in. And for each action or for each thing, I've got a verse that I look at in order to encourage that behavior. The first thing is prayer. You know, Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything be prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known, be made known to God." Some of those mornings where I was sipping my coffee and grumbling, "I hate May," and wondering how I was going to make it through the day, I would simply ask God, "Give me strength. Give me peace. Give me something to where I'm not like this grumbling guy making everybody else around me miserable." So it's just that little prayer. But there's also those occasions, especially if there's a long drive involved. You ever had those days where all you want to do is drive and listen to the wind? No radio, nobody talking, you're by yourself. It is one of those days where we're just going to listen to the wind. And usually that's when I'm sitting there going, "Oh my goodness, God, let me tell you about this day. This happened, this happened, this happened." And just sometimes that just unloading lifts the burden. And I think, golly, could I be that to somebody else? Like, could I listen to everybody's grumblings and complaints? I am a principal, so I do that sometimes. But could I listen to grumbling and complaints all the time? Whew, that'd be hard, but God's going to do it. He's going to listen to you. He may nudge you and say, "Hey, listen here, goober, you need to go this way instead." But again, He's going to listen to you. He's going to hear your cry. So prayer, one of those things. That one's like, you can do that every day, every morning, every drive, and whatnot. Another action you can do to kind of get yourself back on track is reading His Word, reading the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I felt awful on the morning I woke up and realized how quickly I fell out of the habit of reading His Word and going through the plan. However, I was encouraged as I read through Exodus. It reminded me that even people who have witnessed the miracle of God firsthand still lose their focus. It doesn't necessarily make it okay, but it helps me understand that I'm not alone in those thoughts. And I still miss a day. This morning I caught back up. We've had family in town, so I caught back up after a couple of days on my reading. We're busting through Numbers right now, which is equally as riveting. But going through that, so you know, reading His Word, and it was crazy because, you know, I'd spoke to Mark months ago about coming here on July 9th, and you know, the calendar keeps ticking and ticking and ticking, and I'm like, I'll figure something out, and we'll talk about something. And then, you know, going through this, and I read that in Exodus, and I'm going, oh, okay, that's great. And so you never know what going through your daily readings will reveal to you. Another action that I like to do, this one's a good one, this one's the fun one, fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." Hang out. Hang out with people. Find time to spend with other believers. I was excited to hear that you guys have a variety of groups that meet. You know, you've got your morning group, you got your afternoon group, you got the weekly groups. We host a life group in our home every Sunday evening, and some of those sometimes, and the grumbling part of me is like, oh, I just want to sit and finish the race. I don't need people coming to the house. But we come over, and usually there's, we study the word, but even just that time with other believers, the time with people, like-minded people, is very, very filling. It fills that tank. Because again, you get to realize, oh, they're going through some of the same stuff, or I've gone through that, so I can help walk with you through that. So if you're not connected to a life group, I highly encourage you to do so, or just invite somebody out for coffee. Go to Starbucks and take out a loan to get a cup of coffee. And I know, but it's so good. Or you can go to Dunkin'. I think it's a little cheaper there. Have coffee with somebody, reach out to somebody, text somebody. And just start up a conversation and fellowship with them and walk with them. Another thing, this one's sometimes difficult, serve. Serve. Galatians 5:13 and 14 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." I cannot thank you all enough for the serving that you have done for my little school down the road. A couple of occasions last year, you guys provided some goodies for our teachers, some snacks, some drinks. And in talking with Mark, I was like, February, that winter month, those are pretty tough. November, those can be some tough times, November, December. And you should see the faces of a teacher when they walk in the workroom and there's goodies on the table. They just light up. I think the second round, I had eyeballed some things when he brought the stuff in. I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to go back and get that later. I like that. I went a little bit later and it was gone. It was gone. Teachers are great, but they're also vultures. And so, especially on goodie table day. But so I appreciate that little action. And some of you may say, well, I just brought a box of Little Debbie's, but that fulfilled a need with those teachers. You guys were also able to help provide some much needed items for one of our families for Christmas by adopting the angels from the angel tree, and I truly appreciate that. That's just another opportunity where we can see those that are in need and just provide a little bit of support for them. This is the part where I have to remember sometimes. Service doesn't always come with the lavish of thank yous and immediate fruits. I was talking to Billy, my brother-in-law. He's the pastor of our church, and he reminded me when he got married. One of the members of the church he was a member of at that time, a couple months later, said, "I hope you enjoyed the gift for your wedding. I'm still waiting on the thank you card." And, and it's like, I know there's tradition and there's that, that is the right thing to do, to thank somebody, especially for wedding gifts. You gotta send those thank you cards. But if you're doing something so that you can get the thank you card, check yourself, because we serve because it's the right thing to do. We're commanded to serve. We don't serve for the good job. It's great, and I try to do my best to thank people when I see their service, but I'm not always great about that either. So be sure to, when you serve, it is to serve to further the kingdom of God, and it's not to not to get a little Hallmark card in the mail. And then finally, one other action that you can do is witness. Be a witness of your faith. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." God saved me when I was a 16-year-old kid who thought he knew everything and then realized I certainly don't. And it changed my life forever. If anybody asks for the reason that hope is in me, man, I can look back on several events in my life. I'll tell you a quick story. When we lived in Virginia, we bought a house the year before we decided we were going to move back to Tennessee. This was not, and that year after, that was not the time to sell a house. And so when we bought the house, we said, we're never moving back. You know, I know some folks, I don't know if any of you have moved away from home before and then came back. There was that moment where you're like, I'm never going back there. You know, what are the man catcher? Is that, do they still call that there? Manchester's man catcher. You just get hooked in. But anyway, we're in Virginia. We had come home to visit and realized how much we missed small town Manchester. You know, we lived in the Hampton Roads area of bridges and tunnels and all kinds of vehicles on the road. And so we came here and we would actually beat the GPS time to everything here, whereas, you know, in Virginia it would just keep creeping up because of traffic. And so we decided to move back, but job number one was to find jobs. And so my wife and I both reached out. I applied to Coffee County Schools. My wife had heard about a company that it was a too good to be true type company, which it was too good to be true. But anyway, it was a work from home nursing gig where, you know, all this good stuff. And so we both applied to that. We had some friends that put in some good words. I interviewed for my job at New Union Elementary in the parking lot of the Chesapeake Public Library in my car because we were an hour ahead already, but I had to get to my kids' daycare before it closed, and so this point was like halfway between where I worked and where my kids were at daycare, so I'm in a parking lot doing an interview, and lo and behold, somehow convinced them to hire me to come here and teach. And then my wife in this new company, she's talking with the HR person, and she's like, you know, I live in Virginia right now, but I'm willing to fly in for an interview. You know, what can we do? And the lady's like, oh, Virginia, what part of Virginia do you live in? And we said, Chesapeake. I'm coming to visit my daughter in Suffolk, Virginia, which is like right next there. And why don't we just interview at a Starbucks down the road from your house? So this lady was already flying like 10 miles from our house to visit family and did the interview, and she got the job. So like I tell people there, like that was the moment, because we were like, do we really want to move back home? Because a year ago we were like, no, no, no. But then all these things just move into place. And it was one of those rare circumstances where I could see those movements. I could see God moving mountains to get us back to Tennessee in real time. It was like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. And so I often tell people, you know, when, well, how do you know God's real? How do you know God has spoken with you? I talk about that story, these things that coincidence, happenstance, serendipitous things that are, you can't chalk up to anything but God. And so that's when I'm witnessing, like I talk about those things, but it's the little things too. Meeting my wife, like that was a God thing. Moving back to Tennessee, becoming principal of East Coffee. You know, when I sat and started, you know, got my teaching degree, I said, I'll never be a principal. They're a bunch of idiots. And then I'm a principal, so and sometimes an idiot. But anyway, you know, preaching here on July 9th, like that is how I have hope in God. Like I pray, because one, selfishly, I get some benefit when I get to speak to a congregation, because one, it makes me really hone in on God's word and really think about what I want to say, what I want to say, because I want to speak what He wants me to say. And then hoping that you guys can pull something out of that as well. I hope that these five things, prayer, reading the word, fellowship, service, and being a witness, can be tools that you utilize as often as you can. If you find yourself drifting, pick one or more of those up, you know, and really focus on them. You know, if you feel like you just you need to talk to somebody, call somebody up. Let's go get some overly expensive coffee and talk about life, and pick one or two of those to focus on. I pray for each of you that the hope of Christ is in you, that you have, when you have that hope, you have something that you can be a witness to and to share with others. And of course, if you haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it can be as simple as acknowledging, one, you're a sinner. Remember, we talked about that. We are natural sinners. We wake up and sin. But then second, recognizing that only belief in Him can save you from that eternity away from Him. Here in a moment, we're going to do an invitation. During that time, I ask that we all take a moment to pray for ourselves, for our families, for your congregation, for your focus. Where is your focus at right now and your walk? Are there some of these things that you need to drift back to deepen your relationship with God? So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to speak to Summitville Baptist Church this morning. I pray that your word shined out to these folks. Pray that if anybody is sitting here going, yeah, you know, I think I need to be a follower of you, Lord, that they do those two things, acknowledge they're a sinner, and then pray that, acknowledge that you can save them from that. And Lord, I pray that if any of us are drifting away from you and losing focus, that we can find a way to come back to you, and because you hear our cries, you hear our afflictions, and you are there for us, Lord. Pray that everybody has a wonderful, wonderful Sunday with their families and friends, and goes on into the week, and shines for you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.